Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello everyone, good evening and welcome to Restore the Roar Live. I am your host, Sky Dickinson, coming to you from inside of Restore the Roar Studios in Land Park, Sacramento, California. Oh, been a handful of weeks since we did one of these. Obviously, school, spring sports, and everything else came to a quick halt a couple months ago. But we got some entertainment here for you tonight. We are gathering three greats from the 1990s of CKM basketball. We're going to discuss, talk about the CKM Hall of Fame and the upcoming nominations, possible nominations for the 2021 class. We're going to add to our 219 members of the CKM Hall of Fame, as well as 18 awesome teams that will forever go down in history. And having the banquet, having the dinner with a couple hundred folks is something I'm sure we'll be able to do come next year, and we're looking forward to that. So right on the other side of this intro song, we're going to get things going. Welcome to the show. Okay, coming to you live here, 7:31 p.m. Pacific time, May 18th. Awesome day outside. Not going to have too many more of these in the high 60s, low 70s. Got that warm weather coming soon. So let's first, before we get into these Hall of Famers here coming on in our discussion, we owe it to talk a bit about the senior class of 2020. Obviously, they've had some things taken away from them as far as graduation, spring sports, things like that. The McClatchy community quickly rallied together, parents, supporters, et cetera, and we were able to use Restore the Roar's Facebook page and our website, restoretheroar.org, as a platform and a voice to get it out there that there was a lot of people who wanted to do whatever they possibly could for this senior class to make things seem, you know, as normal as they could possibly be, although we're obviously in very unusual times. So it's been a series of things. First, we put out the call for donations. That was about a month ago now. They came flying in. If you're listening and you're one of the many people who donated, we were getting as many as 20 donations a day at one point just to fund everything that they're going to do and have been doing for the senior class of 2020. There was a lawn sign available to each and every one of the 554 seniors that was picked up last weekend in Lamb Park. They got the digital billboard up by Cal Expo, and then just south of the corner of the park is a giant billboard honoring our seniors. So on Freeport Boulevard right there. So if you're going southbound on Freeport, get to the end of the park, look up there to the right. Don't take your eyes off the road for too long, but it's an awesome billboard and designed by a parent. And so there's just a lot of support and love shown toward this class of 2020. There's more things to come. I'm supposed to announce that the yearbook has been delayed. The initial date to receive the yearbooks, I believe, was May 29th. That's been delayed because of, obviously, delays in the manufacturing string, I would guess. When that becomes available, we will let you know. So like I said, we've always been the voice of CKM Athletics here at Restore the Roar. My name is Sky Dickinson. I'm the head of media. I've been on board for about 2.5 years now. Couldn't be happier. And in this time, we've kind of taken on a bit of the voice of McClatchy in general. Not to overstep our bounds or anything, but just to help everybody, let everybody know what's going on a day-to-day basis. And you can find everything and follow everything at restoretheroar.org and by liking us on the Restore the Roar Facebook page. We got a couple sponsors here that have been very good to us over the years. First is Simply Mobile. That's going to be a 4411 Freeport Boulevard. Matter of fact, just across the street from that billboard I was just talking about. Owned by a good buddy of mine. Go in there. They're only open on Wednesdays and Saturdays as of right now. But you could call them at 456-7478 and figure out when you're going to come by. Ask any questions. It is a great store. Proud Land Park small business. And so give them whatever support you possibly can. And please mention Restore the Roar. They're going to take care of you either way. But let them know you are family. Okay, so Got a couple people on the line here. I'm waiting for the third to chime in. It's going to be three C.K. McClatchy Baseball Hall of Famers from the 1990s. Pretty excited about this. We got Camilo Gutierrez, class of 94. I'll give a little intro here up front to paint a little picture of who these guys are, and then I'll let them fill in the blanks here. Camilo Gutierrez, class of 94. C.K.M. Hall of Famer. Four-year varsity starter. Very speedy, lightning, quick-handed second baseman. Had a great career at McClatchy, beginning with the 91 team. Went on to play for Texas, the Longhorns. Had a good career there. We'll let him tell us more about that. And went on to a life of that involves a lot of weightlifting. This man's a very serious weightlifter, very into physical fitness. And we're glad to have him on here. We'll start with him just here in a second, but not until after I introduce Nick Johnson, longtime friend of mine I've known since Pacific Little League, class of 1996. He was drafted straight out of CKM to the New York Yankees in June of 1996. I remember being in a film study class with him that semester. He had planned a career at Sacramento City. He had planned a career at Sacramento City College, which was a very successful squad at the time, and I'm sure that would have catapulted him to success one way or another. But instead, the Yankees picked him in the third round. Made the flight to the East Coast, to Florida, if I have it right, within the next 24, 48 hours. Went on to have a 10-year career in Major League Baseball, most notably for the New York Yankees and the Washington Nationals. And he amassed a .399 on-base percentage during that time. Good enough for 61st overall in Major League Baseball history. Two slots ahead of Yankee Joe DiMaggio. And just eight slots behind Ricky Henderson. Greatest baseball player I've ever seen on ice. Tough to follow that one. But the next one is a good buddy of mine as well. Danny Schultz, class of 1998. He has put an instrumental part of the team that won the section championship in 1998 by beating a stacked Vallejo team led by pitcher C.C. Sabathia, who recently retired from the Yankees and will likely be inducted into the Hall of Fame before long. Crazy how many their connections are in this world, how things fit together. So he went on to play at ARC, had a good career there, and he was teammates with former A's Dallas Braden, who just celebrated the 10th anniversary of his perfect game. So a lot of baseball going on with these three fellows. I also played baseball myself at McClatchy, but that's not going to be the story tonight. Had a great freshman in JV teams, great freshman in JV years, and I'm class of 96 as well as Nick is. We won the Metro Conference freshman and JV year. Nick played varsity all 4 years. We won the Metro Conference. Can you imagine if we had Nick Johnson on those teams? Anyway, it was fun times, good times. So welcome to the show, gentlemen. Do I have all three of you live?
Yes.
Scott. I'm here, Scott.
I'm here.
Okay, excellent. I was chatting up with Camilo earlier today. And I explained to him that there's a little bit of a delay in the voices, so we'll get used to that. But don't be alarmed if you don't immediately hear feedback. It's very common on ESPN. In fact, you know, when they're interviewing somebody from New York and LA, they'll be like, "So, how'd you feel about tonight's performance?" And then they got the guy just staring at the screen for like 4.5 seconds. We came in ready, you know. So, but it's not a delay. But anyways, gentlemen, off we go. I've said you are all Hall of Famers. Camilo and Nick are in. Danny may be in individually soon, but he's part of that 98 team that's been enshrined into the Hall of Fame. So let's just start with you, Camilo. Talk about when you your days in the early 90s, what those teams look like, what McClatchy Field looked like, and anything else you would like to tell us.
Nick, I'd just like to say hello to Nick and Danny. Thank you, guys, for having this show. Man, I'm always down to talk baseball. And when these conversations get started, man, a lot of just baseball just kind of just comes out, man, just every detail of it. I came up as a freshman in 1990 for the 91 season. And, man, I was just looking to make McClatchy team, just get a McClatchy uniform. Didn't matter if it was a freshman uniform, JV, varsity. I just knew that I was just, you know, I was playing at the next level from Little League and just playing with all these guys that look like men. Literally, I'm like, man, I don't know, you know, It was just a great experience, man. I go around these guys that just, they look like men, and I just went out there and competed and just gave my best every time. And, you know, and a lot of good things happened, a lot of bad things happened, but just gave my best effort. It was, there were some good ball players, man. And to play with Nick, it was pretty awesome, man, because he's a student of the game, and his approach and his really, you know, his attention to detail. And it was pretty awesome, man. There's a lot of good ball players, and we didn't make the playoffs all my 4 years, but we built up into that. And Coach LaForte, I mean, I just have a lot of good things to say about Coach LaForte, man. He just kind of let us play, and, you know, he was really well organized. And he was a baseball guy, man. He liked to compete, and he's going to put the best guys out there that he thought can help contribute for a win.
Gotcha. So yeah, let's pass it over to Nick, man. These careers overlapped by a span of 2 years, right? So Nick would have played with Camilo for 2 years and Danny with Nick for a couple of years. Bring us back to the mid 90s, Nick Johnson, and welcome to the show, buddy.
Thank you. Wow. It was, just looking back, I was fortunate. I think it was huge for me personally, for my career, to be able to play with those little guys. I don't think people realize the talent that the level of ball back then in the Metro League and all the other teams we played against, the competition was really high. Played against great teams. And, you know, just being a freshman on varsity with those older guys, you just try to stay in your lane. You know, there's a lot of different things. Those guys are four years older, and so you just try to be a part, work hard. And I really enjoyed all my 4 years, but I enjoyed the Easter tournament. That was a blast.
They need to bring that back.
Oh yeah, that was I had a blast doing that. That was really fun.
They used to have it at Lamb Park, man. They haven't done that in years. Yeah, and
yeah.
that was an epicenter of springtime entertainment there in Lamb Park on the Easter tournament, man. I couldn't agree more. Danny, let's get you in on the conversation here, Danny. Class of 98.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
So
bring us back to your squad, dude, and then also make sure to plug your business, because you are one of our official sponsors.
Well, first off, let me say, you know, it's definitely an honor to be on here with Camilo and Nick. I looked up to those guys coming up when I was a kid. You know, I remember watching Camilo at City, and I played against Nick since we were in Little League, and Nick used a wood bat at Pacific Little League when he was 12 years old, okay? But so a lot of those guys that I came up with, we grew up playing, you know, Pacific Little League and Pony League at Lamb Park. So, you know, a lot of us all came up through the ranks together to McClatchy. And I was a guy who actually worked my way up the ranks. I played freshman ball, you know, under Steve Correa. I wasn't fortunate enough to make JV as a freshman, but, you know, I was the workhorse pitcher. I pretty much pitched every game our freshman year because we didn't have no other pitchers. Played JV under Chuck McKay. Sure, we probably all played for – some of us who played JV played for Chuck. If you played football,
for sure.
You played for Chuck. So,
football,
I mean, he's a coaching
yeah.
legend at McClatchy. And
wrestling.
Then, you know, my junior year, I was fortunate enough to make the varsity team. You know, very competitive. A lot of great guys weren't fortunate enough to make the team. You know, there was a lot of great players that got cut, unfortunately. You know, so just that camaraderie of growing up with the guys, though, and knowing them from Blue League, I really think that helped strengthen our team in 98. I mean, we literally had guys that had been playing with each other at Pacific Little League since we were 5 or 6 years old, pretty much our core group. I mean, there was a few guys that came in that really strengthened the team, you know, the Rondell Baptistes and the Corey Watt. But for the most part, the majority of us, you know, came up through the ranks here in Lamb Park playing together. You know, on the fort, he just really, like Camilo said, he was well organized, and he just pretty much let us go out there and do our thing. So, and then, you know, definitely Coach Graff, you know, Coach Graff was a big influence upon me once I got to the varsity level. He was the first guy to really actually teach me how to hit properly, you know, and those sessions in his garage on Sunday mornings, I'll forever be grateful for. So,
Awesome, man. Yeah, I've been in that garage to train for baseball as well. I'm going to keep it with you, Danny. Look, talk a bit about that 98 team and especially that championship game against Vallejo.
Yeah, so, I mean, that 98 team, we were stacked. You know, actually coming back, really starting from 96 with Nick's team, you know, they had a deep run into the playoffs. I believe they may have lost to Elk Grove. But 97, we made it to the city championship game, and we lost to Elk Grove. And we had a lot of guys coming back. We lost pretty good talent from 97. You know, when you lose a Steve Ohm and a Jason Howard, you know, you're going to have to fill some holes. But we had a lot of guys coming back from that 97 team. So, and then we added a guy like Ricky Barrett. You know, when you can add a guy like that who's an ace left-handed pitcher to your team, well, you're going to have a pretty good shot. So, you know, we had a good run through the playoffs. We end up getting past Elk Grove in the city championship. We get to Vallejo in the section final. We win the first game on a Thursday. Ricky pitched. I think we won like 3-1. So we're up 1-0. And CeCe, he hadn't thrown an inning yet. He gets, you know, you get 10 innings as a high school pitcher in a week, and he hadn't thrown an inning yet. They were planning on splitting them 5 innings in the second game and 5 innings in the third game. Well, I got the start in game 2 of the section final, and I hadn't pitched in about 6 weeks. They didn't need me in the playoffs. I was our third starter. I just hadn't pitched. Well, LaFort gave me the ball for game 2. And I went out there and I gave up a 10 spot in the first inning, guy. So I got
laid. Damn.
Lost game 2, needless to say. CC didn't throw a single pitch in that game. So we get to the third game. He has all 10 innings left to pitch. They go up early on us. They're up like 3-0. We get to the fifth inning. Their crowd is just wilding. I mean, they think the game's pretty much over. They got CC on the mound. He just got drafted by the Indians in the first round. They figured the game's over. Fifth inning came around. I actually was a leadoff batter in the fifth inning. I was fortunate enough to get a leadoff walk. Came around, scored the first run against them. So that's, you know, a big memory of mine, being able to say, hey, I scored the first run against CC in the section final. But we ultimately ended up putting up a 5 spot against them. LaFort, you know, came through with some crafty plays like he always does. You know, first and third versus a lefty move where the guy on first breaks early, guy steals home. Howie Correa scored from second base on a pass ball, you know, so we just really exploited some of the minor things against him to be able to put up 5 runs, and we held on and beat him 5-3. You know, one of the longest lasting memories of that, though, is that after the game, CeCe, yeah, he didn't shake our hand. He stood out in left field and cried to his coaches. So that's unfortunate, but that's what happened.
So you were never a big fan of his moving forward. I get it.
You know, it's just a respect thing. It's a high school game. You've been drafted in the first round. The least you can do is just man up and shake our hand and say good game. You know, but to stand out in left field and cry to the coaches, it's like, come on.
Dang. That's good stuff, man. He's a good story. And I want to give all you guys plenty of time. Camilo, what do you got for us, man? You got a tale from McClatchy days?
Man, I want to go back to the CC thing, because I talked to my guys. I go, we're talking about like the arrogance on the field. I go, man, there's some guys that I played with that were like that they had to live like that, or else, you know, their center of reality kind of changed and shifted, and they had to keep that reality at whatever cost. And that's one of the costs that, you know, a mature player, I'm sure he learned a little bit later, but still to do that, it just shows, you know, where they're at in their development. But no, dude, that would be the ultimate respect to where he came up and shook your guys' hand, because man, that's a baseball game, man. That's about competing right there. It doesn't matter like who's up or who's pitching, man. You guys are going to give 100%. And then that's when you're playing baseball. I know when, you know, just taking ground balls with Nick and him coming as a freshman, man, you know, just that feeling of playing with guys who can pick it, who can throw, I knew that I was going to give him the best throw possible, but when it came down when I needed him to pick it, he would pick it. So my game elevated, when he became a McClatchy Lion. I mean, you know, and you guys probably went through this too. It's like, you know, the confidence level, when you got confidence in all your guys and you're building up all your guys, it just elevates your game so much, man. It's just like, you know, I know I'm going to make a perfect throw every time, but I know that, you know, instead of him trying to pick it every single time I throw, he's going to get one right to his chest, but also he's going to go 100% and try to pick that ball on a throw that, you know, we need to get picked. But those are, and like you said, like you guys played all together like Lamb Park. I mean, That means something right there, man. You guys have built a team right there where you guys can all trust each other. You're going to give 100%. And that, I feel like that's the essence of team sports, of like coming together and like getting the next guy up, man, setting the team up to do good things, to an opportunity to score a run. Because you know when you give up in that bat, you're going to come back in that big situation and people are going to count on you to produce. So just confidence in your teammates and that just elevates confidence in yourself. But man, just talking about that game, I can hear it in your voice, man. That's a memory that we all can only get from baseball, man. And Nick, I was watching your highlights on the New York Yankees, dude, when you guys went to the World Series, man. And that got me fired up.
That's great, man. This is kind of turning into a Nick Johnson stories podcast, but that's just fine because I have my share. We're going back to 1989, Pacific Lily. No, I'm kidding. But yeah.
Hey, go there, man.
There's some
kids out there that can learn some stuff, man.
Yeah. No, Nick played majors at Pacific Little League as a 9-year-old, and I think I was 10 or maybe like 11 by the ledger of it all. But I would have been only 10. But yeah, good guy, class act. He always just behaved like a professional, and he had it in his genes because Larry Boa, his uncle, is one of the most successful CCAM graduates of all time. So let's hear from the man himself, Nick Johnson, dude. You want to give us some CCAM memories, or you want to tell us what it was like right after you got drafted and headed out to shipped out to Florida?
After I got drafted, went to rookie ball, you go down there for 3 months, and they don't the Yankees, they didn't say a word. They just let you play, and they just sit and watch, and they drafted you for a reason. They don't try to change you for the first 2 or 3 months. But it was awesome. We stayed at they took care of you. Stayed at Steinbrenner, had a hotel there. You work out from, like, 8 to 11. You come in, have a turkey sandwich with soup, and you go back out. You play a game from 1 to 4. That was 6 days a week. Hit with a wood bat, playing against older kids. That was the start of the grind of trying to reach your ultimate goal.
Right, and you had a heck of a minor league season and made it into the minor league All-Star game, I think, before you broke into the bigs.
My goal when I started was it was hard being away. I wouldn't say it was easy, but I tried to just want to move up each one level a year. If I did that, I would have been in the big leagues at 21. I hurt my hand in 2000, so I missed my goal. I made it when I was 22, but you got to put the work in. You got to say no. You got to say no to your friends. You got to stay home and do the workouts and be fresh and that other stuff.
Are you specifically referring to a party I invited you to in 1996? And
yeah.
You stayed home to take swings in front of the mirror. Yeah. All right.
Yeah,
it paid off,
brother. I went out a little bit, but you got to put the work in every day.
Sure.
Something. I would do something every day. If that's your goal, to want to play, whether high school, college, try to make it. The only thing you do is put the work in, and give yourself the best shot.
That's well said. And I think, fast forward to today's McClatchy team, been very, very successful under the head coach, Mike J. Necochea. And it's the same type of thing. I mean, he's all about putting the work in. There's no substitute for hard work. There's no substitute for experience. And so we are running out of time quickly. These always fly by. But my producer's telling me.
We can go another hour.
For real. Easy. I'm going to get a 5-minute extension here. So we got another 10 minutes. That's going to fly by too. So, Nick, toughest pitcher you faced in the bigs. Who you got there?
Toughest pitcher. All right. I'll give you a couple that come off the top of my head. Jamie Moyer.
Oh, that's a good one, man. I brought his name up the other day.
Yeah. He couldn't break the pane of glass. Yeah, he couldn't, but it was just sinker, cutter, slider, curve. And it's just, you go back to your hotel room, and he was sucking on an 0-for-4, and this guy couldn't, he couldn't blow up a radar gun. Him, and I love facing lefties. I loved it because it kept me in when I started getting a little sexy at the dish. You start flying open, that lefty keep you honest. So I love lefties, but any lefty that dropped down super low. So there was a guy named Mike Venafro, Randy Choate, those guys, they were lefty specialists. You know, I look back and you look up at the radar gun, they're throwing 84, 85, but it feels like they're throwing 93, 94, and I just – when I lay in bed, I just think I just never got ready to hit against those guys. I was watching the motion, trying to pick it up, and I just never got ready to hit. Next thing you know, the ball's on you. But
wow.
those three guys, you know, Billy Koch threw a cutter to me one time in 01 when I got called up. I was overmatched. I was like, what was that? I never even seen that before. But you learn and you figure it out.
I remember you squaring up Rob Nin pretty good in the ninth inning of a game at Yankee Stadium. Was that your rookie year?
I think was it Shinjo maybe was center fielder. He had all the wristbands up to his elbows. He took off running. Rob Nin threw me. Yeah, he was filthy too.
Good times, man. Yeah, we could. I should have made this an hour podcast. I'm looking back thinking that's my bad, but. We could always have you on again. Let's see. I might even have to skip over this whole thing about the field. They got a fence now. Coach Mike was telling me last night, you know, they put a fence in and everybody said, hell yeah, it's time to hit some dingers, you know, but actually the dingers are being taken away from them because they're not rolling anymore. You know, the way to hit a home run in McClatchy used to be to slam it into the gap on the ground and get that thing rolling and rolling and rolling. And, now you got to punch it out over the fence. But if we're able to talk about that, favorite teammates. All right, let's throw out some favorite teammates. I remember playing with, just my 2.5 years of ball, McClatchy, Jesse Wilson, Monty Martin, so many, Byron Ishimura, Richard Vasquez. I'm leaving so many out. So many good guys, so many good friendships that I made. Camillo, who are some of your most memorable teammates from CKM?
Well, obviously it has to be like Nick Johnson. Nick Johnson, Dom Correa, Mike Karras, Ron Jackson, Joe Johnson, man. You got to let Joe. Joe brought it one year, man. He was crushed, dude, all league, all city. And he crushed the ball. Man, there's a bunch of guys. Jesse Gossin, man, who else? There's a bunch of good guys, but you know what? I feel like I built up relationships with everyone on the team. It was important for me. Just to be a teammate to everyone and help them become better. Man, there's so many. I consider everyone a good teammate. And then you got your little circle of guys who are gamers who are going to hit whenever you hit and take ground balls whenever you take ground balls. And that's kind of like the inner circle. The guys who put in the extra work, man. Those are like Dominic Correa, Mike Karras, Xavier, guys like that that just put in the work. Phillip Cole. There's a bunch of guys, but there's only the inner circle where they're gonna just take those reps, man, and it didn't matter.
They got you, man.
It the same. Just do or die.
Yeah, for sure. And we're not even mentioning the bus rides. Those bus rides, they had freshman, JV, and varsity teams together. I mean, those were the times where people got to know each other. Everybody would mess with everybody, and God help you if you let it get to you, because then it was over. But those are different times. Nick, real quick, 30 seconds, favorite teammates.
Oof. You guys named a lot of them. I put it this way. There was a lot of great teammates. very fortunate. I would say there were very few douchebags that you wouldn't want to be a part of. A lot of guys brought it. You know, I could sit here and name a whole bunch, but I had a blast with pretty much everybody, the guys that put the extra work in and cared and wasn't the 2-for-4, what's the score type guy.
For sure.
You know,
good
if
call.
You suck hit, I mean, everybody's going to suck hitting, but go out there and make a play in the field or read a ball in the dirt or go first to third. There's other ways to win a game besides just rolling the pole, you know what I mean? That's just one part of it, but.
Totally.
You know,
Danny, you've sorry to cut you off,
guys.
Buddy.
Yeah, no,
Danny, you've already mentioned a couple. So
definitely. I agree with those guys. I mean, LaForte did a really good job of weeding out the bad apples, the guys who didn't care, the guys with the bad attitudes. So, I mean, we had a lot of great guys. But my most memorable teammate, though, my favorite, was probably going to be Corey Watts because the guy was just an absolute gamer. I mean, he was so crazy, he would eat dirt before games.
That's hardcore.
Yeah,
that's
he
hardcore.
Was insane. So he was probably my favorite teammate, but I loved them all.
Good call. All right, one thing I want to wedge in here on Restore the Roar Live is one more mention of Simply Mobile, one of our sponsors, 4411 Freeport Boulevard. Stop by. They're open Wednesdays and Saturdays. Good friends of Restore the Roar. Danny Schultz is also one of our sponsors. He works these days for Catalyst Mortgage, and you can get a hold of him at 916-585-1489. It's not very often that podcast hosts have on a podcast guest and then announce that guest's phone number to the public. But that's what we're doing here.
Hey, I do what I can to support the program.
Exactly, man. He'd love to help you out refinancing and all that type of stuff. Okay, the last thing we're going to do here, gentlemen, before I thank you very much for your time coming on here. This has been a blast, and 35 minutes has gone by in about five. Since 1973, there have been 7 coaches of CKM baseball. We've already named LaForte. We've named Mike. We've named Jim Graff, Coach of the Year, 1990.
Yeah. Yep.
Can you guys combine to name? There's 7 in total. So that's going to be 3 that we haven't mentioned. We got Graff,
LaForte.
Well, I'm going
to take Bernie Church.
Bernie Church.
The original. 1973 to 1988.
I'll get
the field is
to
named
to
after
Camilo.
Him. Yeah.
Glaviano.
Wow.
Yeah,
I thought that was
going to
be the impossible one.
Come on,
that's correct.
Guy. Come on now.
He coached 1990, and I bet he had that cream pickup truck, too.
The Nissan?
That's the one. So who's the only
one? Still see him out there. He's still out there.
Is he?
Yeah, I see Glaviano out there.
Oh, that's cool. The only one we're missing is the guy who bridged the gap between LaForte and Coach Mike.
Oh, I know that. Brian Moreno.
There it is.
Yep.
All 7 from start to finish.
I talked to him the other day.
Oh, cool. Cool, man. Yeah, you're in touch. Awesome. All right, guys. Well, again, thank you very much. Folks, if you're listening, you can visit RestoreTheRoar.org. to make a nomination about a possible Hall of Famer for next year's class. We didn't even have a chance to get into that. I guess when I have 3 people on, I need to make it a little longer than a half hour. So maybe we'll get together and do this again real soon. But thanks again, gentlemen. And on behalf of Restore the Roar, we thank you for listening. I am Sky Dickinson signing off. Good night.
Good night.